Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
We've got r/pro revenge today. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Evidently, Apostate is the user who posted this episode. By the way, this is the RR show. I am Vince. Would you please give us a 5-star review and let us know what you're thinking about the show? And you can always see the links to the posts if you want to share them and share this episode. Just go into the show notes. We link all of the original stories too, and we're very grateful for all of you who post these delightful episodes and make our lives more entertaining and fun. So yes, r/pro revenge, user evidently apostate, and he's got this episode today. I'm just rolling on the red carpet for him. I love you, bud, but I'm cutting your throat.
This is a cross post from r/pro revenge. I'm a millwright who specializes in rebuilding natural gas turbines. I run with a very top caliber crew where everyone has a role to fill. My role is overseeing anything that's lifted with a crane. My technical title is rigger. If a load falls, it's my fault. If someone gets hurt while I'm in control of a lift, it's my fault. If equipment is damaged while I'm in control of a lift, it's my fault. The incident in question happened about 2 years ago, but we'll need to go back a couple years farther to get the backstory. I was a fresh member of the crew and had demonstrated competency in rigging, so after roughly 6 months with this group, my superintendent put me in charge of all rigging. I wasn't the fastest rigger, but I was safety focused and insisted on doing it right every time, even if it took a little longer. This meant that my superintendent didn't have to watch over every rigging task and could go relax because I had it under control. Another millwright joined the crew about the same time I did. We'll call him Larry. We didn't get along at first, but after a few months we became friends. Larry was the act now, think later type, much like the superintendent I travel under. Larry was prone to making mistakes because of that attitude. But he was very fast and worked like a mule at times, and I respected that. He wasn't especially skilled in any one area, so he had no special position. That meant sometimes he'd get put on less glamorous work, and I soon learned that he was very jealous of my position as the rigger. At times, he would make comments like, "Huh, I'm going to take your job." Not in getting me fired, but bumping me down a rung and him taking my spot as rigger. He came up behind me while I was looking over my checklist to point out something I may not have checked yet. If supervision was near, he'd make sure he was heard. At this point, I should mention this. I stick out like a sore thumb on this crew. I was raised in a very strict Christian cult, but in my mid-20s, I realized what was going on and left at great cost. Losing my family and friends because of the strict shunning rules the cult practices. Some of the stricter things stuck with me, Like, I've never been intoxicated, I don't use tobacco, no recreational drugs. I speak professionally without slang or colloquialisms, for the most part. These traits stick out for a crew of men that travel the road and work in harsh environments away from home for months on end. But Larry, he fits right in. Larry quickly became the superintendent's puppy, bringing him gifts of his favourite alcohol, staying out late after work with him, even rooming with him on the road. I, on the other hand, leave work, hit the gym, cook my food for the next day, and make sure I get at least 6 hours of rest so I can perform the next day. I realise that puts me at a disadvantage socially in the workplace, but I prefer to let my work speak for itself. Anyways, fast forward about 18 months. We're starting a project just before COVID hits. About 2 weeks into the job, I have to attend a mandatory class through my union. It's a 40-hour class, and in a different state, so I'll be gone for pretty much an entire week with travel time. I get permission from supervision and leave, with Larry rigging in my absence. A few days later, I'm lying in bed, stressing out about the final test I have to take the next morning. If the test isn't passed, the entire week is wasted. I always psych myself out before a test, but in reality, I don't have anything to worry about as I'm a good student and test well. My phone goes off. It's a text from Larry. I love you, bud, but I'm cutting your throat. I reply, what the hell are you talking about? When you get back, I'll be the rigger. You can do the shit work from now on. I'm not proud of the response I came back with, but it's how I truly felt in the moment. Be careful about cutting the throat of someone smarter than you. Now, I'm far from the smartest person you'll ever meet, but I do enjoy reading, studying, and learning. And being smarter than Larry wasn't an accomplishment by any stretch of the imagination. The next morning, I passed the test and headed back to the job, where Larry had, in fact, usurped my position as rigger, and was lording it over me as I went about doing the tasks he would normally do. To be completely honest, it kind of felt like a vacation at first. Getting paid nearly $40 an hour to clean parts of torque flanges with no stress? Hey, sign me up. But I was upset. I was upset because I knew I did my job better than he would. I knew that he got along better with the superintendent because of their similar personalities, but I didn't feel that I should lose my position simply because Larry had more in common with our superintendent than I did. Regardless of that, I was now dealt these cards, and I had to play them. Just 3 days after I got back from Glasgow, the job was shut down. COVID-19 was just now sweeping the country. Out of an abundance of caution, the plant shut the project down until further notice. We were sent home for about 3 days and then called out to an emergency shutdown where a turbine had crashed. We roll out and we're on the job 48 hours later in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. We get right to work. Now, on this particular unit, you pull the entire roof off in two sections with a crane to open the enclosure. Compared to many things we lift in a project like this, the roof weighs very little. The turbine rotor may weigh over 100,000 pounds, but the roof usually weighs around 7,000 pounds. Lightweight. But it is large, and there are critical parts around the roof that can be damaged if not lifted carefully. Typical procedure is to be on top of the roof after it's unbolted, be in a full body harness and tied off to an approved anchor point capable of holding at least 5,000 pounds per OSHA regulations. We then slowly take the weight of the roof with the crane until it's floating and then climb down off of it and continue the lift until it's set on the ground or a truck to be moved. The superintendent instructs me to go on the roof with Larry and assist him. Do whatever Larry tells you to do. Okay, boss. I put on my harness and climb to the top and begin to assess the situation. The rigging to lift the roof is 4 5-ton chainfuls. It's capable of safely holding 20 tons, well over the weight of the roof. The crane is also well overrated for this lift, even with the boom extended all the way out in order to clear another building on the way to the ground. Larry has it all rigged up, but no tension on the wire rope slings. And then I notice his crucial mistake. He has forgotten to account for boom deflection. You see, when a crane takes the weight of a load, the boom flexes down. Depending on the crane setup and the weight of the load, it can mean that while your crane hook might be centered in your load with no weight on the hook, once you get the weight of the load on the crane, The crane hook could be anywhere from a few inches to a number of feet off center, which means when the load comes off the ground, it swings. Swinging is bad. Always. Enough weight swinging could tip the crane, crash into equipment, crash into a person. It's really, really dangerous. At this point, I start calculating. Is this weight enough, even swinging, to tip the crane? No, not even close. Is it enough to break a chainfall? No, not even close. Are there any people working around us that could get hurt? No, thankfully not. It's just us. Is there any equipment that could be damaged if it swings? Why, yes. An electrical control panel, which has had all power killed to it, has been disconnected, is in the swing path. I decided to let Larry hang himself. He looks at me and asks what I think. I tell him, oh, this is your show, boss. He asks what I mean. I look him in the eye and draw my finger across my throat. He gets nervous because he knows exactly what I mean. Starts double-checking everything. He still doesn't notice the boom deflection. After a couple of minutes, he decides I must be talking out of my ass and proceeds with the lift. I stop him and remind him to tie off with his harness. He doesn't realize it, but we're about to go for a ride. Generally when I'm rigging, I first find out what the thing I'm rigging to weighs. It's a vital piece of information. If I know what it weighs, I can have the crane operator track how much weight he has on the crane, and I'll be able to know when the object should start to pick up. If we go over 10% more than the object should weigh, there may be something stopping it from moving and we need to stop and reassess the situation. Rigging could fail, the object you're lifting could jump into the sky, all kinds of mayhem may ensue if a hidden bolt holding something together breaks because you use too much force to lift it. I ask Larry if he knows how much the roof weighs. He doesn't. I do, but I don't tell him. He starts signaling the crane to slowly hoist up. The operator complies and starts lifting. I'm watching the boom get pulled more and more off center. We're probably 2 feet from the center of the load at this point, meaning a swing that could travel nearly 4 feet. I stop Larry and ask him to see how much weight is on the crane. 11,000 pounds. 4,000 more than what it should weigh. This roof is in a bind because we're not picking it straight up, but at an angle. It's either not going to move or we're about to fly. I brace myself. Hoist up, slowly, Larry calls over the radio. Boom! The whole roof shoots a good 2 feet into the air and swings wildly towards the control panel. Larry and I are taking a ride like pirates in the crow's nest in a hurricane. We crash into the control panel, bending it over at a 45 degree angle, destroying most of its components. People start pouring out of the nearby trailers to see what the commotion is all about. The crane operator is yelling over the radio, asking what the hell just happened. I'm smiling. Larry is shaking. He sees me smiling and knows that I knew. We get the roof set on the ground and are met by our superintendent. He is chewing Larry's ass hard. He gets to me and asks why I let it happen. I just say, I did what Larry told me to do, just like you asked. The superintendent's no dummy. He's seen a thing or two and knows exactly what went down. Larry is demoted, I'm reinstalled as rigger immediately. And a few shifts later, it's all smoothed over. Larry and I are actually good friends now. We've been through a lot together and have each other's backs these days. He's now the foreman of our crew and lets me do my thing. Failing your way to the top is still a valid way of progressing in my field, but I'm happy for him. He's actually good at it. And I guess that's all there is to say about that.
So, confession time. I remember a few years ago, I was outside of a movie theater. It was dark and there was a crowd and it was the premiere of Star Wars Episode 1. And yes, I was one of the guys dressed as Darth Vader. So going to the movies for me, it's a fun experience. Have a lot of great memories doing it. And you know what's also great? Saving money. That's where Regal Unlimited comes into play. It is a pretty sweet all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass that pays for itself in just two visits. You get any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates or restrictions. And if you want a premium format like IMAX, you get it at a reduced cost. You also get concessions, the non-alcoholic kind, like popcorn, 10% off. So if you're thinking about two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited. Sign up now in the Regal app or go to regmovies.com. That's regmovies.com/unlimited. Use promo code RRSHOWREG. So regmovies.com, that's regmovies.com/unlimited, and use promo code RRSHOWREG. Darth Vader costume optional. Hey, it's Vince, and as a small business owner, as a dad, life is busy. I'm sure you can relate. Lunch rolls around, and you got to stop to eat. It's kind of a drag. Well, if you got 2 minutes, you can eat right with Factor. These are chef-crafted, never-frozen, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals in just 2 minutes. Now, when you hear that, you probably think it's full of just preservatives and junk. No, it's not. This stuff legitimately tastes great. So here's a couple of the things that I had. I got the packages right here. It's a jalapeno lime cheddar chicken. That was delicious. Roasted garlic chicken. Oh, yeah. I wish I could visit you again. Blackened salmon with smoked Gouda cauliflower grits. I never had some of this stuff before, and it is tasty, and it is good. So if you want to get in on this Factor action, it's really good, legitimately. Seriously, it is good. Go to factormeals.com/the RR Show 50. That is factormeals.com/the RR Show 50. Use that code, get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next. Factormeals.com and use code the RR Show 50.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Our next story is from Lex Talionis. Boss tries to use an off-color joke to get permission to fire me. About 15 years ago, I moved across a few states to where my wife was starting her new position as a professor at a local university. We had the first three of our four children, and while I was going to mainly stay at home to care for them, I wanted at least a part-time job for the extra bucks and whatnot. So I took a full-time position as a cook at a retirement home slash care facility in the town we'd moved to. I have a culinary degree and years of experience working in small kitchens and hotels and a previous university kitchen. This was a very small kitchen and had a lot of the hand-me-down practices that have managed to avoid professionalism and efficiency. Basically, whoever ran the kitchen just did what they felt like doing if they thought it made sense. The current head of dietary, who actually hired me, had years of experience, but she was retiring and her position was being taken by a kitchen staff member who was brought into the kitchen from being a housekeeper. She had very little training and no certifications, but was taking the courses as she started the position on the facility's dime. At first, it was very friendly and casual. We all got along fair enough. It was my new supervisor, boss, me, and the main cook, Queen, who had plenty of experience in small-town kitchens, and an ex-truck driver, King, who had no experience but could follow directions and sort of assemble the meals as directed. Our facility director, Big Boss, ran the entire place and all departments. I had a habit of maintaining a professional demeanor whenever I worked, until I could test the atmosphere and relax into whatever environment it turned out to be. I learned from this incident not to do that, and always maintain a professional face at work, no matter how relaxed it is, because of this incident. After some months in the position, all was mostly fine, but boss had issues with the way I performed my tasks. I used pretty standard practices for preparing, cooking, and expediting meals that she was unfamiliar with. An example would be preparing meal components during downtime as residents of the facility would come to be fed. She was used to just standing at the window, waiting for nurses to come and give the names of the residents and their meal choice. Then as the aides cleaned up, she'd rush to prepare lunch. I would come to the window when a nurse approached, but otherwise be preparing food to go into the ovens or stovetops for the impending lunch hour, or prepping food for the next day's meals.
This not only managed time better, but allowed me to avoid many snafus and possibly prep something extra for the independent residents who would request something at the last minute for lunch when they came for the morning meal. They had a tendency to just trickle in, and there weren't more than maybe 40 residents in total. One event would be the morning she came in early to do paperwork, and she saw me preparing 4-inch full pans of pork chops to put into the cooler until oven time. She was terribly confused. What are you doing? Pork chops for lunch? But it's breakfast time. Yeah, breakfast is ready in the steam table. But you're supposed to be serving breakfast? I am. As they get here, I give them their breakfast. I've already prepped the veggies and the potatoes. After I get these pans in the cooler, I can start the cake for tomorrow's dessert. But it's breakfast. And so on. This was the start of her trying to change my methods to hers, but almost every time she'd try, I'd resist. At first, she pulled the "I'm in charge" thing, but not often because I had more experience than her and could explain how my method was standard practice or made more sense than hers. She never had a reasonable explanation that what I was doing shouldn't be done other than I don't like it. She really had some ridiculous ideas about how to cook. A few times she would involve the facility head, Big Boss, and I'd get to work to be told I needed to go talk to her. Every single time I'd manage to defend what I was doing and get agreement from Big Boss that what I was doing was professional and acceptable. More than a handful of times, I demonstrated how things Boss expected of me not only weren't efficient, but sometimes skirted or even violated serve safe and food handling safety. A big one was she'd been angry that she now had to bend over to lift out meals out of boxes on the bottom shelf instead of on the second shelf where she had them previously. Above the shelf, where we had boxes of lettuce and other raw veggies. I'd be told to continue what I was doing, and Big Boss would then talk to Boss, who would stare daggers at me for the rest of the shift. This went on for months, until Boss thought she could finally get rid of me through some shenanigans. One day I was called into Boss's office towards the end of my shift, and she said we needed to go talk to Big Boss. We go together, and Big Boss tells me that Boss has brought to her attention my unprofessional behavior in the kitchen. Boss then clarifies by relating a little off-color gag I'd taken part in one day with Queen. We had been putting away our deliveries and each of us had one of those 80-20 meat tubes, and on a whim we both started hanging them in front of our aprons and swinging them from side to side, chasing King around in front of the coolers with our meaty dongs. Yes, yeah, it was unprofessional. Yes, it was juvenile. Yeah, it was kinda gross. But this wasn't an isolated incident of tomfoolery, and it was the same sort of play the Boss herself had taken part in. Boss thought she'd finally gotten me, as Big Boss asked me if this had actually happened, and I said it had. Boss starts to explain she can't have that kind of behavior in her kitchen, and it was unprofessional. She loved being able to say that directed at me, considering I'd shown how unprofessional she was previously. And that it was offensive and dirty and blah 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 blah. When she was done and Big Boss looked at me for my response, I apologized and agreed it was inappropriate and I should have known better. But I also explained that I never made an off-color joke, began an off-color discussion, or took part in any behavior considered unprofessional there until I'd seen that it was commonplace in this kitchen. I waited to gauge the environment first until I saw how they conducted themselves in their kitchen. After I saw what they considered acceptable, I took part. I also explained that it was actually Boss who'd first made me aware that they were regularly engaging in casual off-color topics and behavior, and only after she'd wandered into that territory did I feel comfortable enough to go there myself. Then I apologized and said it wouldn't happen again, but that everyone including Boss should be held to the same expectations. Boss immediately snapped. What did I do that made you think it was okay to be so offensive? Which was a huge mistake. Boss, who is Henry? At this, she clammed up, and her eyes grew wide as she turned so red it was kind of scary. Big Boss looks at Boss in confusion, and Boss looks back and forth between us in a panic. I begin to explain that Henry is Boss's vibrating dildo. And I only know this because on my second day in the kitchen, the dishwashing machine was, like it quite often is, being repaired because it had broken down again. The repairman was this guy that Boss and Queen kept staring at and giggling about. Queen jokes that she thinks Boss is sabotaging the machine so that this guy will have to come repair it again. At one point, he goes out to his truck, and Queen tells Boss she should just go for it, asking him out or whatever. And Boss declines, smiling and giggling, and then says, "Look, I have a date with Henry tonight." Queen chuckles, and I ask who Henry is, and Queen tells me it's Boss's special friend, and Boss finished by explaining that he's big, he's red, and has multiple vibration settings, and he even wiggles a little too. I laughed and she continued with saying something like, "A girl's gotta do what a girl's gotta do, even if she has to keep buying batteries." I go on to explain that Queen can confirm this, and there are probably other instances where others were present where Boss was engaging in similar discussion or taking part in similar joking around, and that it was only after a few weeks of this behavior did I feel comfortable in taking part. Big Boss is looking at Boss for a rebuttal, but Boss is still standing there shuffling her feet, sweating bullets. Big Boss then thanks me for being frank and that from this point forward, none of that behavior is acceptable from anyone, and excuses me to finish my shift as Boss stays behind to presumably get reamed. There were a few instances of us butting heads after that along the same lines as before, but she didn't talk to me much after. I ended up moving on a couple of months after. Alrighty, guys and girls, thank you very much for watching. That's it for this episode. Me and Henry have a date. Oh, sorry, is that inappropriate? My mistake. Well, until the next episode, guys and girls, peace out and make sure you have batteries.
We really appreciate you being with us on today's show. The RR Show is a production of Evergreen Podcast and Wessler Media. Now, if you'd be so kind, follow or subscribe to the show if you haven't already. And if you also haven't done already, please leave us a very nice 5-star review. Thanks, Mom. Also, for more, you can visit rrshow.com. That's rrshow.com. I'm your host, Vince. My producer, Kevin, thank you. We'll see you next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference, all that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.